is the song that plays in my Skype.
I'm going to sing the Doom song now.
The Nine Inch Nails one from the end there?
No, Invader Zim.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's
from a cartoon.
That's a cartoon that a lot of the kids that were in drama class used to have on like their binders and stuff.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know judgment from you.
It's
a little green guy, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of green.
Little green guy and his blue-gray robot.
Blue-gray robot. Was this a television thing? Was this a comic book? What was it?
It was a television thing that was on Nickelodeon. The creator of it was somebody who did Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, the comic. And Nickelodeon said, please make us a kid's show. And then it turns out he was very difficult to work with. And also kind of a scummy guy. That ended in a blaze of fizzle. And there's some funny moments in there, either because of or in spite of him. I'm really not certain.
Well, that's a lot of information to pack into the opening of this.
You invoked it by saying that you were going to sing the Doom song. So that's a very famous thing from that.
Okay, Gurr, our mission begins now. Let us rain some doom down upon the filthy heads of our doomed enemies.
I gotta sing the doom song now. Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom, doom, doom, doom.
Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm. But speaking of things that make you go, we were looking at a list of movies, as we did previously, literally the same list, because I don't want to go look up stuff again. And there's something that's been on it, a request, an oft-repeated request from exactly one audience member. But we have this little thing called Doom, a movie based on the video game. And it is a thing that exists in the world.
It's apparently very near and dear to one of our listeners' hearts, specifically, do we call him Move-Ups or do we call him Justin?
Should probably call him, we can call him both. Justin Move-Ups Wake? Is that his last name?
Yes, it is.
Just making sure.
You sounded uncertain.
Well, I don't usually call people by their full legal names, God. But anyway,
I hate when people say my name when they're talking to me. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Daniel Sturm.
No, I mean, you don't even have to say that. You can just say Dan, like in the midst of a sentence, and it'll just make me like, ugh.
Okay, Dan, whatever you say.
Oh, don't do that. Please. It makes me so uncomfortable.
I like to use people's names as a kind of punctuation on a statement. So if I'm, berating somebody or acting fake indignant, as I often like to do, I will punctuate it by
fake indignant
because I'm not really as worked up as I might seem to be about certain things, but occasionally I'll put a little comma and then that person's name and a period just to really drive the point home too.
Yeah, it works for that. It's probably just tapping into some like primal fear of being yelled at by our parents or something when we were small children.
I mean, whenever I would get yelled at, my mom would always yell the wrong name, which is, I think, just something she's trouble.
Intentionally? Like, is she negging you by calling you the wrong
name?
No,
she didn't mean to. But she would just accidentally, like, be so angry that she would, like, shout the wrong kid's name to yell at.
So she wasn't, like, mixing up. She wasn't giving you like the wrong middle name or whatever when you're doing the three name thing, huh?
No. She would never do the cliche, you know, middle name shouting thing. But that's neither here nor there. Justin had wanted us to do this movie for a very long time, and we had resisted because it didn't seem like a good idea, and also it wasn't free to watch. But now it's on Netflix, so it's at least free for us to watch it. I don't care what it is in the rest of the world, but for us it's free.
Yeah, and I felt like I had seen it once already, and I felt like that had been enough. But I think what had actually happened was I had seen the trailer, and that's all I needed. Because,
yep, that's the content of this movie. It could be squeezed into, or you could put it on like the back of a note card. It is. This movie is not. This movie is not dense and deep with different levels of material and thought-provoking content. It is pretty sparse.
Did you stay awake?
I did stay awake.
Did you have to take a break and go for a quick walk around the block at any point?
Well, I was taking breaks periodically, just because of the manner of which I was trying to view this.
The Merlin method.
Well, no, because that's usually like he's bored and then he's tired and then he goes to sleep and then he resumes later or doesn't. But in this case, it's just it's a matter of scheduling. I didn't have a block of time for 2 hours consecutively. But in this non-consecutive viewing, I don't feel like anything was damaged by that.
You didn't miss anything?
I don't think I forgot any essential plot points or the character names that were deep and meaningful. Fortunately, everybody shouts their call sign names or handles, as they call them in the movie, just nonstop. So you can't forget who anyone is, other than you can't forget why you would care about them, because they're all just everything in here is just so incredibly surface level and cliche and sourced from other better movies. Predominantly aliens.
Yeah, so MoveUps, who is thankfully in the chat room to give us all of the background information that we're going to miss, has indicated that this movie doesn't really share anything with the video game other than Mars and guns. And I was going to ask you that. Is there any bit of this movie that has anything to do with the game? Because I played the game a lot. You run around and shoot monsters and stuff.
Yeah, well, this is most heavily inspired, obviously, by Doom 3, which was the higher res, more detailed, etc. Version of Doom that was of the era. And I played that.
Oh, right, that was the big selling point, right? Like, it's finally, like, high-quality graphics.
Yeah, and you know, the imps have bump normal maps, and the
right, it was they
shadows.
Went from like that Wolfenstein 3D kind of bitmappy look to like actual things.
Yeah, because Quake had done that in the interim. It had been the thing that had gotten the 3D progress, and then
I played a lot of Quake too.
I never got into Quake, especially
I
not.
Think I probably listened to the Quake soundtrack more than playing the game.
Oh, well, you love you some Reznor,
yeah,
But yeah, I never got into it. But the things that are in here from the game, Mars, a portal, some of the larger creature designs are inspired by the game. The BFG is in here, and let's see, grenades. But that's pretty generic. I don't know. There's not much to it. There are scientists who do science things, then play God and stuff. But in the video game, what happens is they open a portal to heck, to the evil place, and all these satanic monster creature things come through the portal thing, and then in this movie they're like, but what if? Hear me out. We do the incredibly revolutionary idea that there is a genetic mutation that is passed on through the blood and physical contact. That's not really super inspiring. Not that a portal to heck really would just like make a lot of sense, but
if you can add alien vampire zombies, why not, right?
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just like be campy and just go for it and be like, yes, look, here's like the fire cross thing, and there's some candles in this lab for no reason. Don't walk into the empty lab room that has candles because then the lights will turn off and then a bunch of imps will show up because they just teleported in because it's a trap and it's poor level design. But whatever. The important thing to remember is that there's not much that strings these two things together. Oh, and the doctor, the evil doctor, well, not evil, but the not very nuanced on ethics doctor. He is named Carmack, which is of course John Carmack, who is the guy who made the games. So that must be a nice curse on his family that that he really enjoys.
Honestly, you said something about going for the campiness. When they do the brief first person thing in the third act, when what's his name?
Carl Urban
goes all Superman drug thing that they extracted from the blood. That was like one of the more fun parts of the movie for me. Maybe it's just because like something was actually happening.
Yeah.
And they were moving quickly and it wasn't just like quietly, slowly stalking through a dark room with no sense of direction or geometry. But I kind of like that. It was interesting.
Yeah, there were some confusing cuts that occurred in that sequence because he would just like get smacked by something, I guess, and then just be staring at a wall, but then cut around to something else. But
I mean, honestly, there's like 35 minutes of like slowly creeping around looking for a monster or something, like to the point that they like they do a loop and then they come back into that room with all the animals and they're like, oh, all the animals got eaten. What happened? And then like they do the same scene, but like in the sewer a couple times. And then they're just like, all right, I think we've killed enough time. The plot can continue now.
Oh, my God. I think the most boring parts of this movie are when they're, like, sneaking around trying to find things.
Turn on the lights. Like, when Rosamund Pike goes into the lab at one point, she, like, turns all the lights on. Like, why is that not the first step for every, like, mission that's going into some dark room? Just turn on all the lights. Have the remote guy at the console, like, signal his Echo device and turn on all the lights.
Well, in the game, it makes sense because the facility has been damaged heavily. And in this, it doesn't make sense because the facility is mostly fine. But just they can't turn on light switches for no reason.
They're just unfamiliar with where it is. That, you know, it's like imperial and metric, like the switch is on the other side of the room or whatever. Or maybe because it's on Mars, it's like when you go to Europe and you got to leave your like card key in the door to leave the lights on, and nobody has their card key because they're guests and they're not scientists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you need a severed scientist's hand for, is you just got to put that in the slot to keep the AC running when you're out.
I mean, to be honest, you never really know why you might need a severed scientist's hand. It always comes in handy, like more often than you might imagine.
It literally comes in handy, but
literally comes in handy.
Yeah, this movie, what a mess! And it's this is directed by a Polish cinematographer who has done other things. I would say that he's probably been a cinematographer on better things than he's been a director on.
Cradles of the Grave.
I have not heard good things about Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, but I don't really want to watch it.
Yeah, his first known for credit on IMDb is the cinematographer for Falling Down, which is a movie that is probably absurdly problematic nowadays, but I remember it being amusing at least when I watched it last, probably two decades ago.
He was working on stuff as a cinematographer before that.
Yeah, but I like that one.
Oh, okay. Okay, because he worked on Twins. He was a cinematographer on Twins.
Well, if there's one movie that is known for its cinematography.
How have we not done Twins? Anyway, there's also Species.
Which one am I? Which twin am I?
Well,
I'm going to be DeVito, aren't I? Because I'm the shorter one.
Well, but that doesn't make any sense because I'm not the Arnold. That's for certain.
We'll have some feats of strength to see who's stronger to lift things up, and then that person will be the Arnold.
See which one of us hurts our back first.
See, I've been doing a lot of core strength training lately, so I could probably lift some stuff.
Oh, okay, Arnold Sturm. But yeah, yeah. So he's done things.
And in this movie, he does his best impersonation of Paul W.S. Anderson, I guess. So
Well, it was the style of the time, because for video game movies starring facilities that were locked down on quarantine and full of blood-based zombie creatures, what else you gonna do?
See, they were into camp before it was cool.
Oh, man. This we send this movie to camp. This is...
Okay, yes. Never mind.
Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad.
I think I told you in the Slack thing, like, we've probably watched worse movies than this movie. By that I mean movies that have had like very serious ambitions and have just gone like terribly off the rails. Like, I could probably tolerate watching chunks of this more than I could tolerate watching chunks of Snowpiercer again, even though Snowpiercer is probably a more attractive movie and I could probably distract myself by putting it on mute for a little while.
That was literally the example I was going to say.
I was going to say, because that was a movie where we had a visceral, like, violently angry reaction. Actually, I do feel like I need to revisit that soon, because I was talking to somebody about it just recently, and it's been years since we talked about it. And they're like, oh, I really liked that movie. And he's like, yeah, I remember being really mad at it, and I hated it a lot. And they're like, wow, really? That's interesting. Why? I'm like, I don't know. All of it, basically, is my answer, but I should probably... remember why I hated it anyway. But you know, that movie was trying to do a lot of stuff, and I didn't like any of it. This movie is doing like two things and it's fine, and then it just goes on for another an hour and 20 minutes after that. So I don't know, is this the worst movie? Is the movie that tries real hard and gets it really wrong the worst movie?
I feel like a movie that is lazy is a worse movie. But at the same time, it's not fun to talk about a lazy movie, because the lazy movie, there's less to really dive into, because you're just looking at it and you're like, yeah, that's the generic execution that you copy pasted from somewhere else, and there it is, and you didn't know what to do for filling the scene, so it's people walking around in the dark. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, at least it doesn't start to get into like completely absurd nonsense until you get into extracting C24 serum from zombie vampire dead people. But like, it's, you know, it's your usual like, oh, there's a scientific laboratory and something has gone horribly wrong, like calling the reinforcements, and then the reinforcements have a scene where they can't wait to go on leave, and then you got that creepy guy from Kingsman being creepy again. And then, you know, they gear up, and then they go to another place where they go down an elevator, and then they go to talk to another guy, and then they go into a portal, and they come out the other side of the portal, and they're in another office, and then they walk to the other side of the office, and they're like, okay, everybody, be safe. We're on quarantine now. You should hide over there while we're in this side of the office. And then they go into the bad part of the office, and then they walk around in the dark for 45 minutes. But like, it's, you know, it starts off with like what you would expect people to do in that situation, where they're like, oh God, we're all going to die. Call for reinforcements. And then, you know, they're just a little slow with all of the things that happen after that. Like, we didn't need any of the stuff where we're like, ah, I'm playing baseball with tangerines or whatever in the barracks and can't wait to go get some shore leave or whatever. Like, we could have just cut from the rock going like, your orders are... go kill everything, to going like, gear up everybody. And then you get that weird scene with I don't know, Carl Urban with his PTSD for some reason.
Well, see, it's a bad scene. We get the introduction to the Rock, and he has a tattoo of Semper Fi across his back, because that's supposed to somehow clue us into his incredibly random shift in personality in the third act. But
also, if you weren't aware yet, he is a soldier.
Yes.
it's really outside the realm of what he had done up at that period in his life, playing a strong guy fights. Yeah.
It was very out of character for him. He's just a regular Christian Bale. This is his machinist. But
this is his Bane. He really pumped up to play this role. He's normally much smaller.
Yeah. It's a diet of what is it? Sardines and avocados and whatever. Anyway, so
For the machinist, I thought he.
The Rock has some crazy like high protein diet.
He eats like four chickens and like three cows and like a fish every day or something.
It's a really unnecessary scene where he gets the mission briefing about what they're supposed to do. And it's like, but we know that we've seen literally this kind of movie before. Like they are the Marines who go in to do the Marine thing. But
it was short enough that that part was fine. Like the rest of the Marine stuff was like, get on with it.
They really wanted that scene from Aliens. And I guess in this case, Richard Brake as Corporal Dean Portman is your unsavory character that's in the group. I don't know why.
He's so good at being disturbingly slimy.
But also, he's not very good with trying to make it sound like he's American with the accents and the stuff.
Oh, where is he from?
Not America.
Oh, he's from Wales. Look at that.
Yeah.
I feel like he does the same voice in Kingsman, though, which he doesn't need to do.
He's supposed to be a weirdo, so whatever, but the whole thing about his voice. gonna go get some she boys and whatever, and it's like, like, did we need this line? Like, what is this? No. What is this in service of? But
it was probably ad libbing some of that. Oh, he's a Game of Thrones boy. Look at that.
But this was an unnecessary scene. Other than you get the scene between The Rock and Dwayne Johnson and Carl Urban.
He's credited as The Rock in this one.
Oh. I thought it was after the name switch, but the artist formerly known as The Rock. They're having their little tete-a-tete where it's like, are you going to be okay? You know, you stay on leave, blah, 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 blah. I mean, like the fate of, I don't know, whatever hangs in the balance, but, you just stay home.
He's like, is that an order? He's like, oh, that's a recommendation. It's like, you're in charge here. Shouldn't you be more assertive one direction or the other?
Yeah, he gets assertive later, but...
That's an order. You better murder all of the women and children.
Yeah, it was a little less of a recommendation, but
Richard Brake, he's really the blue boy on the Games of Thrones.
What blue boy?
I don't know, the big blue boy with the spiky head.
I thought that was somebody else.
I don't know. There's a picture that says Richard Brake in Game of Thrones 2011. He's a blue boy.
Okay, well maybe he's one of the blue boys. Anyway, it doesn't matter. From 2014 to 2015, Brake was the Night King on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, blue boy.
But he stopped being that. Huh. Somebody else is that.
Huh.
Oh, well. I guess they didn't really need a lot of acting for staring.
What does he do? Just stares and then like lifts his arms like he's doing in this photo?
It does appear to be the extent of his acting for the Night King. But the stuff here with the things, they get on the helicopter and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we copy and pasted a clip from the movie Predator that you guys like.
It did feel pretty Predator-y, didn't it?
Yeah, they got the red light, they're doing the helicopter thing, they're on the mission going in, and it's like, you could have just like cut to them at the facility, I guess? Like, did we need to see the helicopter? Because it literally has a city shot of the helicopter going over it, and it's like, is this helping? Is this helping?
Also,
like world
why
build?
Is there no embedded rapid response team in this very important portal to Mars?
Yeah. Apparently, they, for whatever reason, tried to set up a distinction between the UAC as a civilian corporation and the military. And there were a couple lines about, like, oh, why can't they use their rent-a-cops to clean this up, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. But to your point, we don't see any of the rent-a-cops anywhere. We just see the military guys. And I don't know why that is. But lots of things about this seem tactically unsound. So it would really not help to belittle that one point.
I was wondering when we were going to bring back Joe's segment, tactically unsound.
So anyway, they land at this facility and then they have a dramatic reveal of an elevator, which is not necessary. And then they get down.
So that's the important plot element, right? So in what is it like 7 years from now, they discover a portal buried underneath the Nevada desert, which I don't know if it came with the elevator or if they installed the elevator later. But there's just in the middle of the desert is a big elevator, and you get on and you go down, and then there's a nice a lobby area where you can find which office the person you're meeting with is located in, and then just you stand in a big circle and you stick your face in some shiny CG goo, and then it takes you to Mars.
Yeah, this. It's not good. In the Doom
3... Is that how the portal worked in the game?
No, well, there's a portal, but it goes to heck.
Do you put your face in shiny goo?
Not my recollection. In the game, it starts off with your guy landing in a vehicle on Mars. I guess they wanted to save money by not having a spaceship, so they don't do that. And also, they seem to want to rapidly get back and forth between Mars and Earth, and it would have been not that interesting to see everybody hopping a ride for an extended period of time.
Yeah, actually, when it first started up, there's that voiceover about how they found the portal in the desert, mm-hmm. and then 20 years later, they're still trying to figure out what's going on. Like, I was a little sad when I heard that voiceover. Like, you could have, like, shown this in, like, one quick little five-minute scene where somebody stumbles across the portal in the middle of the desert and is like, whoa, that's a crazy thing. But then, I don't know, based on the pace of the rest of the movie, that would have just delayed the gratification of getting to Mars.
Yeah.
All the further, and that would have been a bad thing.
Yeah, it was silly.
Maybe they could have cut it a little faster.
Did you like the unveiling of the Universal logo as Mars?
Yeah, that was fine.
No, I didn't like it because the resolution on the planet was bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say the planet didn't look great, but it was.
And the starfield was also terrible.
Oh, was it? Was it technically inaccurate?
No, it probably was, but it was like I took a little whiteout pen and then just dotted a piece of black felt with it.
So you're saying all of the stars were the same size and intensity?
Yeah, they just were not good. They were not good stars.
They
were not
good
stars.
What's a good star? It's just a little pinpoint of light, isn't it?
Yeah.
Supposed to twinkle?
There should be some variation in the size and density
twinkle,
of them.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Yes. I heard you. It was a bad starfield. But anyway, they get down there and they zoom in and there's the facility and we get scientists running and, we're running from something that's off screen.
And that one guy who's calling for help looks back over his shoulder dramatically like four times.
There's nothing worse in a chase scene where you're not supposed to see what's chasing them. And when somebody is like looking over their shoulder constantly, it's just like, just run. Just keep running. If you need to stop dramatically so that you can turn around and look, then I don't believe that you're running because you're actually scared. I believe that you're running and are doing this for us, the audience.
He couldn't run. He was at the console calling for help and the thing was banging on the door. Mm. And then there are a couple instances. Do you think they went to multiple VFX vendors for this movie? Because there are a couple VFX that stick out a lot. And one of them being when the shadowy figure of the giant monster breaks through the door in the opening there. The doors and the shadowy figure are both very... I mean, they may as well have screen-capped the video game and just comped them over the doorframe.
Yeah, there's variability in the quality of the work that is done here. And
there's some blood later that's very
sharp and specular.
Very specular, very I don't know, like it's like floating. It's not obeying gravity.
No. It's also purple. But anyway, the thing breaks in. It's like, whatever. And then we get our whole kickoff with the Marines, and they go to the Ark, and then they go for Ark travel, and we get a briefing, and it's like, you ready for this? Blah, 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 blah. And then they're all vomiting, because it's apparently very intense. But they're greeted by Pinky, who is a guy who experienced Ark travel earlier in its progression and was... sort of severed at the waist and is inside of a wheelchair now. He's sort of their guy in charge of managing their gun cams whenever they bother to check them. There are parts of this movie where I'm just like, don't you have someone coordinating all of this? And they'd seemingly forget. And then all of a sudden they'd remember he was there and they'd be like, oh, the gun cam is pointed at the ground right now. It's like, oh, okay. What about all the other times in this movie? What was he doing?
Probably checking email.
I don't know, but they'd occasionally check in with him. Yeah, I mean, it's probably gonna be pretty boring sitting in a stainless steel room waiting for everybody, but...
Watching some Hulu.
They do that, and then they go into the facility, and they're all the people who presumably are there waiting in the lobby, and they're like, hey, don't worry, wait in the lobby. And then Gross Guy is like, I'm gonna have to strip search all of you. And then he goes up to Rosamund Pike, I'm gonna have to strip search all of you. And then Rosamund Pike's like, yeah, whatever. And she talks to Johnson and to Urban, and there's the brief thing of, I'm not gonna do your data retrieval thing because that's not part of my mission. And then Rosamund Pike's like, Mr. The Rock, sir, what is your mission? And it's like the data collection thing. And she's like, okay, great. So we're going to do that. And they go off to enter the part of the lab that's been closed down because of the quarantine procedures instituted by Dr. Carmack.
Like, luckily for us, they mentioned on several occasions that there's, what, like 54 people in the whole place and 6 or 7 people that were in the bad zone that are probably dead.
The bad part of the office. There's no vending machine that works there. The coffee's terrible, but it's right next to the bathrooms.
Like the break room and or the annex, if you're talking about like actual the office.
Yeah. Well, did you notice that the bathroom had so many stalls? And it's like, isn't this just like for a small portion of the facility? Like, how are there so many stalls in here? There's more stalls. There are like 20 stalls in that bathroom.
Were there 20? I thought I saw like 4 or 5.
Well, they had it mirrored on the other side of the little like mirror and sink station.
Mm.
And then along the back wall.
Presumably additional scientists could show up from time to time. Maybe they just give a lot of lab tours.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tours, a lot of coffee. Like, what are you going
to
do?
Well, you also don't really want to be like using the stall that's like right next to somebody else. So it lets people space out a little.
Well, you know, this is a very solvable problem.
Are you suggesting they wait to poop until they get home?
I'm suggesting they take care of that before they go to work in the morning. We're not getting into this yet again.
Okay, well, that's good to know, Dan.
Honestly, at this point, I don't even remember if we've talked about this on the show. I feel like we haven't talked about
your opinions on on where one should use a restroom.
Do your business at home before you come to work, people.
Sure, because it's a completely schedulable thing.
It is. It totally is.
Uh-huh. But that's normal. So they have the thing with the stalls that happens later in the film. But for right now, they enter the facility and all the lights are all busted and whatever. And they're like, so this is under quarantine. There's 6 people missing. There's a horrible, horrible thing that's happened. We're going to split up into groups of 2. Like, this is Clue. And you're going to go wander off. And it's just like, why did you do that? Just keep everybody together. Sweep the place. But they pair off.
I thought it was at least like somewhat tactically accurate that he's like, you're going to stand in front of this door to this portal room because like you're the last defense if everything gets past us. And then when they get to the smaller room, he's like, you two guys are going to stay here, and you're like the line of defense before it gets out of here. And then us, we're going to go this way, you go that way, and we're going to like sweep around in a circle and try and drive everything in the same direction. Like, I thought that made like sense to do.
But they don't know what they're up against in terms of the reason quarantine was invoked.
Well, it can't possibly be strong enough or scary enough to take on 2 soldiers.
No, of course not. When you use the word like quarantine, and is a facility that has lots of stuff going on, maybe you should have some sort of protective gear for biological contaminants. Just an assumption. But they
well, it was a level 5 quarantine, so it's possible that that had some meaning.
Well, they go and they check and they're like, nope, no radiation, lead's normal. I don't know how you're doing. Like,
right.
Like, was there aerosolized?
Fine, lead's fine. And then there was like one other thing. It's like cadmium and lead. What? Why is that in your air?
Yeah, there's just an aerosolized lead issue that comes up every now and then on these facilities.
It's just from the really old Martian pipes. Like, you know, there's not much you can do about it. It would cost a fortune to rip them all out.
Yeah, I mean, they've been there from the civilization from before, and it's just, you know, it's in the foundation. They poured the concrete around it. You have to rip the whole thing up. But they split off into these little groups, and each of the little groups runs into their own little surprises. The Rock and whoever he was paired with, I think it was Destroyer, they run into the weapons room, and they comment on, oh, no, it was Duke, maybe. They comment on all the stuff. If they leave, this is the stuff they leave out. I hate to see what they lock up. And, of course, there's something that's locked up, and it's the bio force whatever gun. It's just supposed to be the big bleeping gun, but they tried to, like, come up with a name for it that would sound like it was an actual science name and not, like, you know, what Dwayne The Rock Johnson says later when he picks it up. But he sticks his hand on the DNA scanner and is saddened to learn that the door will not open so he can get his fancy gun that he would like to have.
No, he doesn't have access.
Yeah, and that really, like, has... that's what sets him on his course for villainy towards the end of the film. they also have... Urban and Rosamund Pike pair off, and then she has her bad accent explanation of how she went to do the parent thing, and you remember what happened to our parents? And
some backstory about how their parents were some of the original settlers, and there was the archaeological dig, and then they were both killed
by rocks,
and then. It was a rock. I don't even remember what.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, then, in his flashback, there's the sound of rocks collapsing. Some sort of cave-in.
Sure. And then she reopened the dig, and Carl Urban's real angry about it. And she's like, "You go on missions and shoot stuff. Like, what I do is not as risky as what you do. So, like, chill, bro, twin bro, because they are definitely twins."
Yes. I mean, I really would be curious to see what the parents look like, but
this is where we get the explanation that you got the skeleton of the mom holding the skeleton of the baby, which I don't know why they were found that way or if they were posed that way for funsies or whatever. This is where we find out that they are genetically mutated humans that have an additional chromosome that does something. We're not sure. Well, actually, we are sure. It makes them superheroes. It makes them really strong and fast and powerful, and they regenerate 50 times faster than regular humans.
Yeah, because she says we found no viruses or bacteria or anything, and it's like, well, maybe it just died. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that seems...
Well, maybe she was just a fastidious, hygienic person.
Yeah, also, if you're immune to bacteria and viruses, they would still be in your system. It just means you wouldn't be ill from them.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
I was going to say, maybe it was Max Temkin and she just, like, bathed in Purell every day.
Yes. Lucy in the dirt with Purell. But they have Lucy and her baby. For whatever reason, they named Lucy and they didn't name the baby? I don't know. But
babies don't get names.
Silly Joe. No, but the but they're in Lucite. Maybe that's why they named her Lucy, because she's in Lucite. They have their little conversation about stuff. And there's also some shooting that happens because there are noises from things, and there's dogs in cages, which is an important point later when they come back and that they're not there.
Total chaos. Dogs and monkeys living together. you know, along the way, some people get hurt, killed. It's hard to really remember where who got killed and how and why. It doesn't matter.
No.
Ultimately, you got the one guy who takes the Lord's name in vain and decides to cut an X on his forearm as penance, which is a little creepy, probably unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually it looks like an alien. We think it's an alien. He gets an alien tongue on his neck and then dies. And then turns into a vampire zombie thing. And then, he starts to turn into a vampire zombie thing. And then he kills himself by hitting his head on the glass three times.
Yeah. Well, he also makes the sign of the cross before he does it. And that's how you know that he knows that he's turning. But that's 50 minutes into the movie.
They know that he knows that he's turning into a zombie vampire thing from the tongue that's stuck to his neck.
Again, that's 50 minutes into the movie. We're still at the point where they're surprised. About all the stuff that's happening, and yeah. They run
level
into
level 5 quarantine. Like, it could just mean, you know, maybe a bathroom got clogged and overflowed, and some methane released, and people are unhappy.
Yeah, because they find Dr. Carmack, and he's in a not great state, and he has a severed hand that they don't know where that came from.
Well, we know where it came from. It was from that one lady.
No, we know where it came from. They don't know where it came
from. Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if we learned anything from Prometheus, and I think we learned one thing from Prometheus, it's that if a limb is on one side of a door that closed, the rest of it's probably on the other side.
Except it wasn't, because when they got there, there was no body there.
I was going to do the song, but I'm not going to do it.
Well, sometimes you want to go where no body knows your door. Anyway, so they
that was creative.
I tried. But the Carmack is all in a not good state and covered in blood. Some of it is. He's got a wound on his neck, and he reaches up and he rips off one of his ears. They're a little surprised, and for some reason they're like, you know what would be good to do with him? Let's take him back through everything to the medical facility and have him interact with everyone else.
And then you got some of those what do they call the stupid doors?
The nano whatever doors. I don't remember that from the game.
It was something you type in a code and then the wall turns into a door, and then you go through it and then you type in another code and it turns into a wall again, which I guess is good if you need to like hide stuff, or honestly that would be a great way to have like a hidden little like man cave inside your home. That's where they have the very important medical room that lots of people should probably need access to. But anyway they use that later to like freeze a monster partway in between, and then it's like stuck. That doesn't get cut in half, just gets stuck. And then later there's another thing where, oh, that was the other VFX thing that looked really bad, is when Carl Urban's shooting through the glitching door.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the wall like locks up, and then the like 6-inch long bullet shell with no motion blur bounces off of it and hits him in the side.
But I can almost guarantee you in a shot like that, they said, oh no, take the motion blur off because we can't tell it's a bullet. And they did.
Yeah, if it's just a spark and then he like flinches and then falls down, how is anyone going to know what happened to him while he was shooting at a brick wall?
He was only shooting at something that was partially a metal door, but mystery. But they have the medical thing, and when they're not looking, he disappears. And they're just like, oh, well, they seem unconcerned.
Rosamund is downloading her files. Should only take a half hour at most. I don't know. She's using zip drives or something.
They say discs, but they're little yellow stick things. They're not discs.
They're literally pieces of like jello-y rubber with circuits embedded in them. They like flex when she's like putting it in stuff, and it looks so dumb.
It's pretty silly. Also,
yeah, she's like downloading her stuff and like looking into microscopes, and then suddenly like vampire zombie guy has run off, and she's like, "Well, that's partly concerning, but I'm just going to go back to whatever I was doing," which I guess the thing she was doing this whole time was like looking at data and like trying to extract the serum out of the people with the chunky blood.
It's really not clear what she's doing. Because we have so much time that we spend with everybody else, and then we come back and it seems like 2 minutes have passed.
It's also not clear because she at this point in her career has not nailed her American accent. And it is very distracting.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
I love Rosamund Pike, but not in this movie.
No. Unfortunately, this was not a high point of her career. Although, I have to say, had she nailed her accent, wouldn't have helped.
No, that wouldn't have been the building block that like enabled you to buy in and suspend your disbelief for the rest of the movie.
No, because instead we go back to the knuckleheads who are making their way through the halls today.
Making their way in the world today.
Yeah, and they
takes everything.
they're doing such a bad job at everything.
Wouldn't you like to get away?
They shoot at a monkey. I just want to skip through this whole part because this is the like lurking through dark hallways with nothing happening part.
And lurking through the sewers, and the creepy guy falls in a hole. And it's all dramatic, and they're like, "Oh no, what's eating him?" And he's like, "I fell in a hole, dang it!"
Mm.
Like, all right,
yeah.
So let us know when we can tune back into the story.
Yeah, and it goes on for a really long time. But this is where we get our introduction to one of the creatures that puts a tongue thing on the what's his face goat, and that's the delivery mechanism that we observe for the transmission of this thingy. I have to say that other movies have done this better, and there have been a lot of movies that have done this of like
the mechanism or the actual monster thing.
I want to say both, maybe. Because
the monster, I can agree with, because 2005 and you know low budget CGI stuff. But
oh well, these aren't even CGI; these are guys in suits, and a couple of them are played by Doug Jones in different roles as the Carmack imp and as the Willits imp.
I mean the I don't think Doug Jones was in the tongue thing. Hopefully,
no, he. Doug Jones would be too big for the tongue thing. He's very good at like contorting into different positions, but I don't think he was the tongue.
Tongue Jones.
But the little tongue thing is not so great because later on we get a scene where Rosamund Pike is interacting with it and she's like, look, I have brain matter on a swab and it likes this and it doesn't like this. And it's like, how is that still reacting to anything? It's filet mignon. It's a pork tenderloin there on the counter. Like what are you guys doing?
Oh, it probably was a pork tenderloin, wasn't it?
Yeah. It just shot some electricity through it to contract it. Speaking of electricity, they identify a cage and they're like, what could have possibly been in here? And other things. And you're just like, as an audience member, who is like, I don't know, lived on the earth for a few years, you'd be like, I know exactly what has happened. And then you wait another like 30 minutes for everybody else. Although I have to say, getting into the beginning of this movie, I knew exactly what it was at the first 15 minutes. I knew that they weren't doing the creatures from another plane of existence thing, but I couldn't remember exactly what the reason, what the thing they replaced it with was. And then I was like, oh, right. Zombie blood vampire things. But that just coincidentally turn you into things that look like things from the game for no particular reason. And it doesn't seem like there's any sort of connection with like, you as a person and what kind of creature you turn into. And there doesn't seem to be like a life cycle stage.
You get an extra chromosome and then suddenly you turn into a zombie vampire alien thing with like 12 eyes.
Yeah. Cause you're either the imp thing or you're the, what's it called? The Heck Knight.
Oh, they have names.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing, the real big thing,
the big guy.
That's the Heck Knight. And then...
you should call him John.
That'd be confusing with all the other names. But the... and then the thing that Pinky turns into is like a... There's like a dog beast quadruped thing. But it has mechanical hind legs.
Thing.
Yeah, it has mechanical hind legs instead of the wheelchair. And
I feel like I remember that from the game.
Yeah, so there seems to be no rhyme or reason in like how that's doled out. And also some people just seem to turn into generic zombies in a very boring way. So that's something that's dangling out there. So it would have, I don't know, helped if they tried to explain at least something about like why anyone would turn into any of these things. And they try to make it seem like it's super fast. Like, oh, it only took 49 minutes for somebody to like start turning into something.
Lest we forget that there is a ticking clock in this movie, that the portal, not even the portal, the elevator is on lockdown for like 6 hours or something. So like nobody can go anywhere, but then something does break into the portal and goes back down to Earth, but the elevator is still on lockdown, so they got to kill everything inside. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. So anyway, they regroup in the med thing a couple times. They're like, what about this? What about that? What's that thing? And we find out through the rock's increasing agitation and aggravation at Rosamund Pike that apparently there was some science stuff happening, and she said they weren't supposed to be doing human testing, and then they put in one of their little wobbly plastic things and they find out there was human testing. That took 2 seconds, and this, like, none of this stuff is even like encoded or anything. It's just like, why wasn't this like on a network if you guys are like don't care. But maybe the fact that you had to actually walk into a room is the security that they needed.
It's like the dark web. It's not really that it's like terribly secure. It's just disconnected from the main network.
Yeah, because apparently she didn't know about what was happening in terms of the human testing part, but she kind of knows about other parts of all of this. So I don't know how they kept that from her. But
she's just an archaeologist digging for genetically modified bones out in the desert, and then she's not really responsible for what they do with those bones in the science lab.
Yeah, yeah. But the rock has a bone to pick with her, and they look at the stuff and they find out in like 2 seconds that Dr. Carmack had some guy who was on death row who he got to Mars, I guess, to do an experiment on, where they injected him with this experimental 24th chromosome and then put him in the electrified pit, and then commented how fast the changes were happening. And presumably that was the first thing that spawned all the rest of this, because
he probably got all strong and then climbed out from that chain that was hanging down in the middle of his pit.
It was not a good place to put a chain. But that was the Heck Knight. The first one. There's other ones that show up later when they're in the facility back on Earth and they're doing the first person mode thing. And it's like, where did these ones come from? But he turns into the Heck Knight, and he's also apparently those things can do the tongue thing too, and he infects.
Oh yeah, that's
other
like
people.
First on the list of the features and benefits of getting your 24th chromosome is doing the tongue thing.
Yes, yeah. But they that explains the beginning of the movie. If you needed it. For some reason, if you couldn't have like guessed at this point.
Yeah, no, it's all incredibly obvious and the audience is way ahead of the characters in the movie. And then really at this point, it just becomes a progression of like how many people are going to turn into zombie vampires and how many do we have to fight versus how many can we kill before they turned, even though they got bit. And then also, we should probably escape because the big guy is going for Earth in the portal and gets there, basically.
Yeah,
because
they go to they go to the dig twice. I don't know. It's ridiculous. They go to the dig the first time and they split up again and do the search thing. And this is after they know that there's like a horrible alien creature. And sure enough, the guy guarding the door dies. And they do all this ridiculous stuff where they're like, oh no, evacuate everybody who's here back to Earth. And then
at first he's like, no evacuation, we're on lockdown. And then afterwards he's like, quick, evacuate everybody, things are bad. And again, still at no point is he like, you know, quarantine,
yeah,
we should send all of these people to the other planet where all the other people are, but it's okay because the elevator's locked, so the disease, if it is an actual biological agent, can't go up the elevator, so we're still safe.
Yeah, I know this is real bad. I have a feeling Dr. Don would have some critiques.
you just gotta microwave your sponge, but make sure it's wet first.
Yeah, yeah. After you touch your alien flame in Yantong.
Maybe the elevator can act as a microwave as well. So as you're going to the surface, it will microwave.
I think there's people that would be in the elevator that would be microwaved.
Yeah, it's okay, but it's a light microwaving. You don't need to like cook it to well done. You just need like a nice medium rare.
That's sure.
What does the FDA recommend you cook your human flesh to in order to be safe?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's
pork tenderloin. They still want you to get up to like 165 for that, don't they?
Yeah, but you can do a little lower.
You can cruise around like 140 or whatever, like for chicken.
Wait, 140 for chicken? Are you crazy?
Wait, is it chicken or beef that's 140?
Beef and sometimes some parts of the pork. Some parts of the pork.
Some parts of the pork. Right. Poultry is the one that needs the most time.
Yeah, poultry, you got to get up to 165.
Yeah.
That one's no good. So, yeah, Dan, you can't do a light microwaving because you wouldn't even kill chicken germs.
It's the Rock. He's no chicken. He's big, strong, tough guy.
You ever watch the cartoon Super Chicken?
It sounds familiar, but I don't. Oh, Super Chicken.
It's a really good theme song.
Oh my God! Is this from the '70s?
Late '60s. It's the Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I've seen this. Yeah. 1967 was the debut.
It's real good.
Wow.
Full of puns.
Oh, that's why you like it, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes. But the animation quality not so good. As you might imagine from that era. But anywho, they do the. Nobody knows how quarantine works, so they're like, yeah, evacuate all these people back to Earth. And this is after you've seen that it's a biological agent that causes all of this.
Mutating human beings.
Yeah. But then
at this point, this is when we get the twist that it only makes bad people bad, and it can make good people extra good.
Yeah, and
so
it can detect if you're a bad person or if you're a good person.
Right. So apparently just all of the scientists were bad people that poop at work. So that's okay that everyone's going back to Earth because not everyone down there is bad. So it's not as bad as like, you know, you're unleashing like smallpox or whatever on the planet or something. But, mm-hmm. But yeah, so it goes back to Earth and then they have to chase it. And then, somewhere along in here is when the rock starts to go loony, and he's like, we have to kill everyone in this room before the elevator unlocks after the 6-hour thing, just in case they might be a secret vampire zombie.
But why did you send them all to Earth if you were going to do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you gotta do whatever it takes to contain this, you know, by any means necessary. And then you get your very you get the new guy, and you got to tell the new guy to follow orders because he's a soldier, and the new guy is supposed to go kill all the women and children, even though, you know, there's that doctor lady friend who we saw earlier for 5 seconds whose husband is definitely dead.
Yes, 100%. And he comes back and he's like, oh, I couldn't do it. You know, there's like 20 or so of them. They're hiding in a storage thing. And he's even got the handle of the kid, which the rock gave to him. And then the rock shoots him in the throat.
Yeah. He's like, do your job, kid. And the kid's like, I'm going to disobey this order because you want me to kill women and children for no reason whatsoever because they're not infected. So
yeah,
chill. And then everyone else is like, hey, guy. They're probably not infected. First, check their neck. Also, if they're not bad guys, they won't become zombie vampires. And he's like, don't care. Kill everybody.
Yeah. And it's a little weird that everyone's kind of not drawing their weapons on the rock, except for Carl Urban.
Everyone's on the side. They're just like, ooh, this is a moral conundrum between these two characters. Let's see how it plays out. It's like, why don't you step up and get involved? Frankly, this is basically Twitter, but it's okay. Like, I was going to say, how could this possibly happen? It's like, well, it's the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
To stand up for your friends who are being told to kill women and children.
Yeah. And, I mean, this makes no sense for The Rock having this pivot in what he's doing and how he's behaving. Presumably, the pressure of this got to him, the crisis of it, the things that he's seen and experienced on this trip have gotten to him. Because this is not the guy from the beginning of the movie. But at the same time, I don't feel like we went on a journey with him where he came to this point. He just seemed to be weird out of nowhere.
Well, he gets a zombie vampire neck thing at some point. Did that happen already?
No, that happens later when they have the... Because right after they have this confrontation, Pinky raises his handgun and says... that he's going to, he wants everybody to put their guns down and everybody to come down. And then he's like, uh-oh, why are you guys looking at me? Like, there's something behind me. And then, sure enough, there's something behind
him. There's the thing.
And it quickly attacks him and then runs off because of editing. What I love is, like, oh, it moves too fast. And it's like, it's a guy in a suit. You guys are cutting away. It is not moving too fast. It is a guy in a suit that is very slow. But they cut away and they're down the hallway and they're shooting down the hall and stuff. And then they get to the nano door, whatever, because there's one of those here too. And there's a swarm of zombified civilians there. And they start coming through the nano door, and they try to close it, but the guy hits the button too hard and it breaks. And so it just fluctuates on being a door and not being a door.
Yeah. Hey, when that happens.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a real quantum state of a door.
Yeah. And then the first person scene is basically caused by Carl Urban shooting himself as the door solidifies, and then he's dying slowly and
poorly. The rock was pulled through to the other side of the door, or was on the other side of the door. I don't remember. He was overwhelmed by people, so he disappeared. And Duke was pulled through the floor grates,
like something large. Yeah,
like he was just on top of a mandolin, and then just like yanked through.
Oh God! They say you always cut yourself or get pulled through by a zombie vampire.
Yeah, this way you got to wear that little knitted mesh.
He should have been wearing his chainmail pants.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like they wanted to do, I guess, that thing from Aliens where it's like, oh, they're coming through the thing, they're already inside the room, and like pull them through. But at the same time, it's like nothing comes out of there or goes in there, and nobody cares about that hole afterwards. And he just died. And then this is where you get the real bad CG blood splurting up when goes through. But then Carl Urban and Rosamund Pike are limping away, and then cut to them already inside of a room stacking spools of wire over it. And it's like, hey, you think that'll hold? No, I don't. And it's like, what are you doing? I'm injecting you with that vial that you saw me take from the thing. And I don't know why she tells him.
He's dying, and she's like, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to turn into a superhero and regenerate yourself. And he's like, no, I'm a bad person. I'll turn into a zombie vampire. And she's like, you're my brother. I know that you're a good person deep down inside, and you'll turn into a superhero and not a zombie vampire. And he's like, no, I'm a bad person. Please don't do it. I'll kill you. And then she does it anyway, and then he falls over. He's like, oh, he was a good person all along, and he turns into a superhero and not a zombie vampire.
Yeah, but he wakes up, and it's from his point of view. Well, the camera like flies into his eyeball, and then he wakes up, and it's from his point of view, and we see him in the mirror.
It's the video game.
Yeah, and this is, like you said earlier, probably the most interesting part of this, just because it has nothing to do with the story. So you could just get right to it. Just be like, here you go.
You would think something weird like this first person POV kind of thing would be incredibly obnoxious, but somehow it's entertaining.
Well, it's also interesting because you as the audience are now the hero of the film, in a way.
Oh, that's right. We're regenerating 50 times faster, and we're good people because we turned into superheroes.
Yeah, we're the ones breaking through the fourth wall. But
we are the fourth wall. I am the fourth wall.
Please, the fourth wall is my father. Just call me fourth. But they have people running around and stuff, and he's shooting things, and there's clever cuts and wipes and whatever, and there's CG hands and a gun and reloading and things, and it's very, very much like the video game. He keeps whispering basically for Sam and where Sam is as he goes through this level, because apparently she disappeared from the room he was in.
Yeah, she's like, I think he's a good person and he'll turn into a superhero, not a zombie vampire, but in the odds that he turns into a zombie vampire, I don't want to be around him.
Yeah, and presumably none of the zombie vampires were like, let me look in this room. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, they got separated for no good reason other than he's looking for her. And he confronts various things, including other Heck Knights and imps and people who are contaminated. And there are a couple of close-ups on like corpses hanging upside down with rats on them. And it's just like, how long have these people been here? It's been like less than an hour. What's going on? He eventually gets to a point where he runs into Pinky, who's been turned into the sort of like dog pig beast thing from the video game. And then he like really gruesomely kills him with a chainsaw for a very extended part of this that I did not really need to go into in great detail. And then he just shoots him when he picks his gun back up. So anywho, Then he makes his way over and finds Sam, and he's like, can you move to get to the elevator? And the Rock shows up, and he's like, ah, there you are. I was looking for you. And he's got a very telltale sign of a filet mignon on his neck. And he's
making noise and is moving a little.
Yeah. And everybody's looking at him like, oh, maybe he doesn't realize that he's contaminated, or maybe he does. And he's just like going to be extra special crazy. And so they have Rosamund Pike, slink off towards the elevator, and Carl Urban starts up a conversation with him. One thing that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is good at is he kind of like lowers his chin, so that his eyes are like really bulgy and like looking straight out at you, rested on like the top of his brow. And
yeah, there's also a lot of very close up wide angle shots in this movie to help accentuate that stuff.
Yeah. So he looks very on edge, and Carl Urban doesn't look great either, although this is unlike the earlier scenes of the film where you were just looking at some enormous zits that were right on his eyebrow. But they, which is unfortunate, sorry Carl, but they could have blurred those out if it had just been a couple years later. But they do the thing where they're talking and stuff, and then it's just like, oh well, you know, guess I'm gonna shoot you. And how many rounds you got? Half a clip. What do you got? One round. And he fires the BFG and melts down a hallway. And then they're shooting and chasing. And then they run back into the main arc room. And again, it's very, people are very fast when you lose them on the edit. So Carl Urban's slinking around looking for him. And he's slinking around looking for him. And it's back and forth. And then they finally get to a point where Carl Urban's down to one bullet that he could fire off, and The Rock has nothing. And so Carl Urban fires his one bullet at the ceiling and then throws his gun away, and then agrees to do hand-to-hand combat with The Rock, knowing that The Rock is slowly turning into a creature and that Carl Urban might not do so hot in hand-to-hand combat.
He's a superhero now, so he can fight. He's the good version of the zombie vampire guy.
Yeah, but he's struggled a little along the way with like the pig dog beast thing.
I suppose. I mean, all things being equal, even if they had equal powers, The Rock still is larger.
Yes, just by volume.
Which is the appropriate way to measure a rock.
Well, I mean, you should probably do have a mass too.
Hmm. Well, you know, mass can be deceiving, though.
Mm. Some volume can be deceiving. It's how you get those foam rocks in movies. They bounce.
Mm.
Yeah, look like a rock.
Fake bricks. Mm.
But they do this stuff where they go back and forth, and they're jumping on wire work things going all over the place. It's pretty silly. And then there's a part where The Rock's getting strangled on railing that's up there, and then The Rock rips off some of the railing and then turns it into a weapon around his arm, and it's like, hey, that's against the hand-to-hand combat rules.
No, he's like twisting it around him so he can like pin him to the railing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he pulls part of it off, and then he like winds it around his arm and just turns it into like a little metal spike. Like, there's probably a better way to use that, but whatever. So yeah, he just jams that through Carl Urban's hand, and then Carl Urban kind of uses it against him in a weird way. He like bends it so they're intertwined, and he can drag The Rock around, and he hits the button to turn on the go to Mars button, and sends The Rock through. I thought he was going to like use the handle to like let half of The Rock go through the send to Mars button and then like turn it off, so he cuts him in half. But he's like, nope, I'm going to pull this off my hand, and you go flying through the portal on your own, and you're going to be in Mars by yourself. And then before the button closes, I'm gonna flip a grenade over my shoulder through the portal and then close it, and then all of it's going to blow up, which presumably means that they blew up the portal so nobody can go to Mars anymore, which I guess is fine because he was all sad that the archaeological dig killed his parents. And I guess they don't need to go anymore because they got the potion, the superhero potion, out of somebody and into him, so they could probably pull it back out of him and then like make more of it.
Well, also they have all of the dead things in the facility. This is not really like locked down.
You're saying he should have sent all the dead people back to Mars and blow that up for just to tidy up?
Well, he should have like nuked the facility from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Well, but he's back on Earth now. He can't nuke it from orbit.
Well, if he gotta do something to that facility, there's ooey gooey bits everywhere that are contaminated.
I mean, you know, just get a couple of cases of Clorox wipes and get to it.
I don't know if they had that in the lounge area, but
they're soldiers. They're familiar with swabbing the decks and whatever.
Yeah, I guess. I just have a hard time believing he would be very thorough in order to get rid of all the stuff from scientists who would pursue it. Or just, you know, carelessness. I'm sure somebody's cleaning up some stuff and they're just like, ow, I poked myself on this railing that was all covered in blood. Oh, well, it doesn't look infected and probably fine. But it's pretty silly. Because he goes back up the elevator with Rosamund Pike and that's the end of the movie. Congratulations.
What more did you need?
World? I don't know.
He's a superhero. The Mars part of the transport got blowed up. And then,
but they can just send another ship thingy to Mars.
Can they? It's just slower.
Yeah, the Ark was instantaneous transport. But you could make a rocket that goes to Mars. People are trying to do that. They send unmanned stuff to Mars all the time.
Yeah, but is that in this movie?
That's not depicted in the film. But they have that super fancy helicopter, so they got it something. And by super fancy, I mean it was covered in weird plating. But the it just was not tidily executed for the ending of that. I can only assume, and I'm sure that I would be borne out if I read anything about this, that maybe perhaps somebody was planning on having a sequel to this, and then they didn't, because why would you? But yeah.
I don't know what they could have possibly done with a sequel.
I mean, you just do the same thing you do with your whatever Mila Jovovich was in for all of those.
The Resident Evil?
Yes, all of them.
I didn't see any of those.
Yeah.
I guess maybe just somebody wakes up and is like, oh, they weren't dead yet anyway, so now there's zombie vampires on Earth.
Yeah, they should have gone to the Homewood Suites Evil.
Wow.
Anyway, I just don't think this is not a movie that was done very well.
Oh God, MoveUp's is saying Resident Evil 1 is good and the rest are less good. It's like, is this going to be his new hill to die on after we've talked about Doom?
MoveUp's, you got one request that we eventually relented on. You get no more requests right now.
Yeah, frankly, we don't pay mind to other people's requests.
I don't want to start a pattern of doing this. It just so happened to be an available thing.
Yeah, we don't want people to continue to request things.
Yeah, like I know what'll make Joe and Dan suffer. Here's this thing. Please don't do that.
You know, honestly, there's a lot of things that would make us suffer.
Yeah, I mean, I like to make Dan suffer, so I can do that. But when you guys do it, it's no fun, because then I suffer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Dan likes to make me suffer, but, you know.
From time to time.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we watched a Joseph Kahn movie. We should watch his new movie.
It's been a while since we watched Star Trek.
You want to do a trade?
Yeah.
We can watch Joseph Kahn's battle rap movie on YouTube Red. I haven't seen it. It was co-produced by Eminem, but it's probably real good.
I'm not going to commit to anything at this juncture right now.
All right. Put that in the same bucket as the Star Trek.
Yes. Same identical bucket. And on that note of buckets, we can put this movie in the bucket, in the out bucket, in the we're done bucket.
In the bucket full
of bleach.
Yeah, you gotta bleach it from orbit.
It's the only way to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
Doom! Doom, 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 do
Mother, would you please stop singing?
Proximity warning. Planet ahead.
Grr! We're here! We're finally here!